from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
He gets, there's a lot of great things said about Lamar, but there's a lot of stuff that's said to you got to just scratch your head about and kind of wonder, what's that person even thinking, you know? So, but we take it personally. You know, Lamar's a guy all his life. Lamar Jackson has been a guy who's been answering those same questions. I'm talking about since he was a kid, junior high school, college, the draft. The success he's had in the National Football League, and it still comes up. We're talking about vision again. You know, there's a vision. Is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. And it's going to happen by Lamar, his work ethic, and his brilliant talent, by all of us pouring into that effort together as a team, and I believe it like we've already seen.
Well, that's about as direct and to the point as you could possibly get. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fed, Bob Haney, V. Serrato, Nolan McGraw, John Harbaugh. That was yesterday. And as Kyle Goon told us last hour from the Baltimore Banner, prompted by a Jameson Hensley question from ESPN.com about Lamar and the national narrative, this, doesn't throw the deep ball. I mean, stuff we've talked about a thousand times. Yeah. But, man, that's some strong stuff right there. Greatest quarterback ever. History of the league, and he does take criticism. He gets it from his own fan base. And outside, remember a year ago this time when people were, Vinny, were doing their top 10 quarterbacks, some of them, he wasn't even in it. Now he's in it because he won his second most valuable player. But for him to even be in the greatest quarterback ever, that's hyperbole.
No doubt.
Right there. But to cement himself as a top five guy in 2024, what needs to happen this season? What can he do to improve upon 102.7 quarterback rating and a second most valuable player award?
Throw the deep ball better. I mean, and Zay Flowers said that at the press conference yesterday.
Yep.
That, you know, he wants to catch more deep balls, and that's the biggest thing to me that Lamar needs to work on. And he's going to have a lot more control this year. He's going to be in charge of a lot of stuff, and he's going to be responsible for a lot of stuff mentally. So can he take his game mentally to a new level? That's what he has to improve upon, because he's given the keys. He gets to drive the car however he wants it. So he can change plays and do all those things. So he's going to have a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, and he's going to be like the co-offensive coordinator. Like when there's a run-pass option, Todd Monken doesn't know if it's a run or a pass, you know, or Lamar running it, because Lamar's controlling that from what the defense does. He's reading it. Boom, oh, it's a run. Or nope, the guy's coming, so I'm throwing it. So, I mean, that's all on Lamar.
How does he get better, more effective, more accurate throwing the deep ball? Is it all about fundamentals for him throwing it down the field? And I guess the deep ball, I mean, we think of like 70-yard bombs, yeah. But I guess anything over 20 yards in the air is where he has tended to struggle during his career.
Yeah, and The biggest thing that I see that he does wrong is he doesn't get enough air under the ball. And, you know, and like Zay Flowers, and well, here's Zay Flowers, you know, I can go get it. All right, to be able to, for a receiver, to be able to go get it, you can't throw it flat because I can't go get a flat ball because it's either got to be perfect or it's an incompletion. Where if you lay it, look at the great outfielders that can go chase the ball. Why? Because the ball's up in the air. So if Lamar's got to get more air under it so the receiver can run under it.
If he do, and we're not even close to doing predictions, but we'll kind of just throw this one out there. If Lamar duplicates last year's numbers, as we talked about with Henry, if Henry just does what he did last year for Tennessee, are we cool with that? 67.2, 3,600 plus yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 picks, QB rating of 102.7. All right, we're guessing he's not going to rush for over 800 yards, but then again, you never know. But if he just duplicates what he did last year, is that acceptable? Or does he have to level up in some category?
I think he'll go over 4,000 yards passing. Yeah, I just think that they've got the guys that can run after the catch that are going to get him some cheap yards that are going to get him over 4,000 yards. I think that's his next level up. Get to over 4,000 yards passing because then all of a sudden, you know, and he rushes for 600 yards. Then people are saying, oh, he's making a transition to becoming, to taking it to the next level as a passer.
What do you think, Nolan? What's he have to do to satisfy people who look at the numbers? I mean, we all got to win playoff games, got to get to the Super Bowl. We all know that needs to be accomplished. But to satisfy maybe the more quarterback purist types, Vinny says 4K, and he threw for almost 3,700 last year. So I don't, and he missed a game.
Right.
So I don't think that's an impossible task at all.
Well, at this rate, I don't know if there's satisfying anybody. I mean, the goalposts keep moving throughout his entire career. And he's won two MVPs. He's won two MVPs in two different style offenses. So numbers, I don't think you could put up any numbers that would satisfy anyone. It's all about the postseason success. It's all about the Super Bowl. So 4K, you know, 3,500, 5,000, whatever it is, it's still going to be people saying, oh, so what? He's got to win a Super Bowl.
What do you think, Vinny?
I think a lot of people will be saying that. I mean, that's nationally, that's what they're going to say. I mean, because that's what they keep saying about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I mean, everything on TV about the Dallas, they haven't won a Super Bowl since 96 or 95.
Yeah, 95 season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the thing with Lamar. For him to get over the hump. Steve Young, perfect example. Same thing happened to Steve Young. He won everything, MVPs, all that. You know, you got to win the Super Bowl, man. I mean, look at Joe Montana. You know, this is what you got to do. And then how happy was I got the monkey off my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what, same thing for Lamar.
And I think more regular season individual success puts even more pressure on him in the postseason.
No doubt.
They could go 17-0. And like you said, Nolan, he could throw for 5K. Vinny throws for 40 touchdowns, quarterback rating 100,000 million. They go one and done, or they lose in a championship game again, and he's not playing all that great.
Yep.
Everybody, who cares? He can't win in the playoffs.
If he wins Player of the Month in September again, which
he's
seems
done
like
a thousand
yeah,
times,
an annual
right?
occurrence at this point, I mean, you almost just shrug. You're taking him for granted. You know, appreciate a great player in his prime, certainly, but, I mean, all the stats, all that stuff, we get to Week 10, you're sitting there saying, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Speaking of Zay Flowers, who we referenced earlier, it's news from the Nest here on this Monday. Zay Flowers, who had a fantastic rookie season, was asked what you want to improve upon this season.
I'll take the whole game to the next level. Everything just from blocking to catching. So I'm trying to get better at everything, and I'm trying to improve every year and prove all the doubters wrong.
Does he really have doubters, though?
I was going to say, who are the doubters?
Yeah.
I mean, he exceeded the expectations for him. I thought he had a phenomenal rookie year. I mean, the fumble at the end, that was a killer. But for what he did, I mean, he was their guy. I mean, make people miss, quick, explosive. And the thing that he said you know, he wants to catch more deep balls.
And here's a 11.1 per reception last year for a guy with that speed. So what about them deep routes there, Zay Flowers?
Probably deep passes, probably more deep passes. I feel like I can go get them. Like, if they're in the air, I'll go get them. So I just want to – that's one of the things I want to improve on to ask your question too, but I'll say that's one of the things, is hitting more deep balls, because that's what I did in college. So I want to come out and try to hit more this year.
And if he could average 14, 15 yards a catch, then, you know, and then the other thing too is Bateman. I mean, Bateman, his rookie year or whatever, was catching some deep balls. So, and we saw Marquise Brown, his rookie year with Lamar, catch deep balls. So, I mean, we've seen Lamar be able to do it at times. He just needs to do it consistently, because you do have a couple guys that can go get it.
And you mentioned Rashad Bateman. He met with the media yesterday, and he was asked, hey, what needs to happen for you to finally have a breakout season?
Continue to stay healthy, and I just got to, you know, go out and show consistency. So Lamar can trust me, so the team can trust me, so Todd Monken can trust me. You know, I just got to go out and do my job.
I think that was perfectly said, the trust factor. And it was from Lamar and Monken. Those are the two. Because initially, the offensive staff has got to trust him to put him down on the sheet to be, you know, be the main target. And then when he is the main target or whatever, Lamar's got to have enough confidence that he'll throw it to him. And when it's a contested catch, or if he's covered, throw him open. Those kind of things. And one of the biggest things with Bate is, if he could have, against Kansas City, Bob, if he could have like 4 for 60. So get started fast. And then all of a sudden, you know, the momentum, the confidence, then I think he's going to continue to grow and grow and grow.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Pad on this Monday. Orioles off tonight. They're in Miami. Start a three-game series with the Marlins tomorrow, 6:40. First pitch, American East report coming up around 1:15. Talk about the draft, baseball draft, that is. Peter Flaherty, 12:30, Baseball America. How did the Orioles do? Apparently, they might have got themselves a steal with that compensatory pick that they got for Gunnar Henderson, winning American League's Rookie of the Year last year. Vinny's going to be heading out to One Winning Drive, but Jason Cole's going to have some NFL lunch with us around 1 o'clock, and we'll get to a funhouse at 12:45.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's going to be heading out to One Winning Drive about a half hour or so as the Ravens back on the practice field. Hopefully Lamar will be there. But Derrick Henry, John Harbaugh, and players to be determined will meet with the media later on this afternoon. We'll have all of that for you tomorrow morning. But right now, let's count some cash on this Orioles off day. Buy or sell.
Well, the Dow is up 25. The S&P's up 34. NASDAQ's up 167. DraftKings down 56 cents. Under Armour down to $6.51, down 4 cents.
All right, we'll start our sports topics today with the Orioles. Anthony Santander, he's been hot here over the past month or so. Helped jumpstart the second half of the season on Friday night. Had a pair of homers in that blowout win. Then went yard again in yesterday's loss. All of a sudden, he's got 27 homers on the year, despite a relatively slow start to the season. And he's breathing down Gunnar Henderson's neck, who still leads the team with 28. Just last year, those two tied at 28 to lead the team. So I think we could safely say they're both going to surpass that mark. But Santander, his recent history track record of leading the team in the power department, 2022, launched a career-high 33, finally has more competition around him when it comes to, you know, power bats, but safe to say he's the most consistent source of power the last 5 years. Buy or sell, Bob, Santander will lead the way for the O's when it's all said and done with homers.
I'm going to sell it. I think Gunner's going to edge him out when it's all said and done. They'll both be pushing 40 for sure. Santander has been on fire since the home run-wise, since the start of May. That's most of his bomb damage. He's never going to win you a batting title by any stretch of the imagination, but he is hitting a well 305 here in July. But we talked about this with Rich, and I said this before the season. 3 for 20, 320 a year, 3 for 60 for Tony Taters. Does that even get it done now? 29, soon to be 30-year-old outfielder. I'm always reluctant for the long-term deals, especially if 20, Gunnar Henderson, how many years you want at 23 right. years old? But 3 for 60, what do you think?
He's going to want a long-term deal, Bob, just because he's 30. He, you know, so
4 for 80.
Yeah, but the only way he gets a long-term deal is if somebody's willing to offer him one. That's a, you know, if nobody is and it's all a 2-year deal or 3-year deal, I don't know, Bob. I'm guessing 25 a year.
What do you think here, Nolan?
It's doing all the right things in a contract year. All-star bid, probably going to, you know, have a career high in homers here. You know, he's just got to hit 34 to reach that. Maybe RBIs as well. He had the Gold Glove nomination early in his career. I don't know if he's going to get another one this year or not, but he's checking a lot of boxes. I don't know what the price point's going to be. Could be out of the Orioles' range.
Yeah, 25, that's a lofty number for old Tony Taters. But he's earning it, to your point.
Over to the NFL here, Baker Mayfield. He rejuvenated his career with a great season in Tampa Bay last year. Over 4,000 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, and a playoff win. All of that was good enough to earn him a nice new contract. But was that a flash in the pan? Our friend Jared Dubin with CBS Sports, he's identified Mayfield as one of his top regression candidates at the quarterback position for 2024, citing the departure of offensive coordinator Dave Canales. Dubin notes that Geno Smith took a step back in Seattle once Canales left there, and that loss could be costly for Mayfield as well. Vinny, are you buying or selling this take?
I'm going to sell it, and the reason I'm selling it is he got a lot of weapons around him. I mean, his receivers and stuff. He's got good receivers, and Baker's a cocky, arrogant dude. I just don't see him, you know, dropping off.
A little basketball here. Team USA, the Olympics will start in about a week here, but they got quite a scare in their exhibition game over the weekend against South Sudan. After jumping out to a 12-2 lead, it looked like they were going to put things in cruise control, but South Sudan actually led by 14 at the half, and it took a last-second LeBron James layup to capture a 101-100 victory for the USA. It's not the first time that Team USA has had some exhibition concerns. Remember in 2020, They also lost to Nigeria and Australia back-to-back exhibition games before the Olympics actually started. Buy or sell, Bob, the narrow victory over South Sudan, not a big concern about the team's chances moving forward.
No, I'm buying it. Even LeBron said it's a wake-up call. They need a little competition because they crushed Serbia the game before that. I think all that is, it's just a little bump in the road on their way to the gold medal. They were like 45-point favorites in that game, according to ESPN Bet.
You know who was awesome in that game? You know who won the game for him was Holiday. Drew Holiday stole the he D'd up that dude, stole the ball, passed it to LeBron, you know, for a dunk.
Yeah. I think we'll that's right, USA, we'll be fine.
Let's see.
If not, I'll be yelling at somebody.
More from the NFL. Sudan. A lot of reports that the Jets explored possible offensive coordinator changes this offseason that would bring in a replacement for Nathaniel Hackett without actually firing him, but nothing ever came of it. Hackett's going to continue to lead the way for the New York offense. But hopefully for his sake, Aaron Rodgers will actually be healthy this time. He recently talked about the way his scheme is going to evolve in year two, sounded rather excited about the possibilities, calling it, quote, completely different. Again, Rodgers' presence here is the key difference. But Vinny, are you buying or selling? We will see significant scheme changes from Hackett there with the Jets.
No, I'll sell that. I think you'll Aaron Rodgers is going to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. He'll put in what he wants, kind of like Tom Brady, same type thing. You know, so Herm Edwards this morning on Get Up, he thinks that Rodgers healthy the whole season gets him 4 more wins, which gets him 11 wins.
Well, before we hit a break here, I got more giveaways this week. It seems like every week we've got ticket giveaways. And this week, 2 tickets to see Green Day. We're going to start today. Mm-hmm. They got their Saviors tour coming up, actually, next Monday, July 29th, at Nationals Park. Giving away these tickets courtesy of Live Nation. They're on sale, but you can win a pair right now. Looking for caller number 7 at 410-583-1057. 2 tickets to see Green Day next Monday.
Orioles are off today, but the Major League Baseball draft is in the rearview mirror, and Peter Flaherty from Baseball America will judge what the Orioles did post-draft. Talk about maybe some head-scratchers that happened in the first round and beyond. Going to hear from Roquan Smith coming up around 12:45. Jason Cole is going to join us for NFL Lunch. Then we'll have your American League East report. Yankees and Rays coming up here at 105. Keep you up to date on that score, as the Orioles could actually gain a half a game without even playing today. 5880-1057, the fans. Having everybody here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. No real musical theme, just going with the flow as we always do. And Nolan McGraw, now tomorrow's Turn It Up Tuesday, and you figure that one out for yourself. Vinny's going to be heading out to One Winning Drive, Ravens training camp, day 2, today at 1:20. Derrick Henry, John Harbaugh, going to meet with the media. Lamar didn't practice yesterday because of an illness. Maybe he'll be back on the field today and possibly have a microphone shoved in front of his face, but we'll get into that later in the show. American League East report as well. Orioles are off, heading to Miami, taking on the Marlins, 3-game set, taking 2 out of 3 from Texas. Here to talk about the draft, however, MLB style, which happened last week during the All-Star break. So welcome back to the show from Baseball America. He's been kind enough to give us some few minutes of his time. He is Peter Flaherty. Peter, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here on the Charm City.
How's it going, guys? Happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with the Orioles. Their first 3 picks in particular, going a heavy ACC, obviously. We'll start with the first round pick, Vance Honeycutt. I mean, I know Vance Law. I know BJ Honeycutt. Not real familiar with Vance, but looking at those grades, 70 this, 70 that, a lot of Ks, unfortunately. But what's the risk versus reward with Vance Honeycutt at pick 22? A little reach action for Elias, or a steal, perhaps?
It's a good question. I think we'll find out soon. But with Vance, I mean, he's got arguably the highest ceiling of any player in the draft. And typically when you have these high ceiling guys, they're also accompanied by an equally low floor. But I think with Vance, and it's long been his calling card now, is he plays gold glove caliber defense in center field, where his speed, which is also top of the scale, pushing top of the scale, I mean, it's at least plus, and his instincts and athleticism, which is elite, they really shine. And I think that helps anchor his floor, and he's hit for power, and his athleticism really shines in the box. But the X factor and key with him in terms of maximizing this immense upside is the progression of his hit tool. He's had some struggles in college with striking out and picking up breaking balls out of the hand, expanding the strike zone. So if they're able to polish that up a little bit and even have it pushing average, I mean, this guy has the ceiling of a high-impact player at the major league level.
Now let's stay in the ACC with the next two picks, University of Virginia, Griff O'Farrell, and then Ethan Anderson. And O'Farrell's an interesting guy, too. Peter might not have a lot of power, but everything else seems to be checking a lot of boxes. And also tell our listeners about Ethan Anderson, a backstop there.
Yeah, so where Vance Honeycutt kind of lacks is where Griff O'Farrell shines. Like, he has one of the more short up hit tools in the draft. I mean, the bat to ball skills and feel for the barrel are both excellent. He's got a knack for just spraying line drives all across the field. It's more hit over power, but I don't have any doubt that he'll hit at a really high level as he progresses through professional baseball. And I know that the Orioles press probably doesn't either. And I know he played shortstop defensively at Virginia, but there's a chance he slides over to second base where he'll more than hold his own. And switching gears to Anderson a little bit, he's a first base guy. It's an intriguing blend of hit and power. Lit the world on fire as a sophomore. His swing from the left side is a little bit more power oriented. That's where most of the juice comes from. But he also, you know, he has a knack for finding some grass and moving the baseball and impacting the baseball from the right side. So the Virginia guys, unsurprisingly, are two really polished, mature hitters. And just they kind of play a little bit older than how they are. It's two polished up guys.
Peter Flaherty, Baseball America, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Peter, let's talk about the first pitcher the Orioles took, which is Chase Alsup from Auburn University, big right-hander. Give us a scouting report on this young man.
Yeah, so I thought Chase was a really interesting pick. He's got big stuff, and he's got big-time arm strength. I know at Auburn he wasn't really able to, you know, totally put it together between this year and last, but it's a high strikeout guy, and I think that he was kind of a victim a little bit of metal bats. You look at the back of the baseball card stats, and the ERA is not going to blow you away, but when you dig under the hood, and you're not going to have to dig that far, high strikeout guy, the stuff is really big. He's got a good physical body at 6'2", 235, starter traits. I think this is a pick they can be really happy about in the fourth round.
Now, Peter, what was the biggest surprise in the draft, whether it be moving up or moving down?
Man, that's a great question. I think with Charlie Connan, a lot of people on draft day, myself included, had the feeling that he would go inside the first couple of picks, and it seemed like 1-1 was down to JJ and Travis Bezzana. And with Condon, I guess you can't really even say sliding to three, but he hit his floor, which was three. It wasn't a total surprise just given how it went. Chase Burns going at two was a little bit of a surprise. And then Treya Savage, the right-hander out of East Carolina, slipping to 20. Many people felt that his floor was in the mid-teens, and for him to slide a little bit further down, where the Blue Jays were able to snag him at 20, that was also a bit of a surprise.
Now, which team, in your opinion, did the best job overall throughout the whole draft and you feel like got the best prospects?
There were a lot of teams that had really good drafts and good classes. The Orioles, for one. I thought the Rockies did a nice job. The Braves did a nice job. There were a handful of teams that I thought made out really well.
Now, Peter, before we let you roll, Peter Flaherty from Baseball America, who was the most polarizing player in the first round of this year's draft?
Oh, polarizing? That's another really good question. I think there was, you know, with how it played out and stuff, I think Charlie, some of the hitters at the top, or really the pitchers are always really polarizing, but I think Jack Caglione, who ended up going sixth overall to the Royals, I think that the camp on him was really split, where you had a lot of people, and rightfully so, saying that he was a top three-round talent, candidate for one. But then there were some others that said, you know, he's going to have to choose one or another at the end of the day. Even the people that were high on Caglione know that he's going to have to choose one or another at the end of the day. But a little bit lower than others on the hit tool and the hit ability. There is a lot of swing and miss with Caglione, but he is an immense talent. I think that where he ended up at six, it was a little surprising. I kind of thought he would go inside the top five, but in terms of polarizing, that guy had the most, I think, split camp of anyone in the first round.
All right, Peter, last thing for you. I promise, a year from now, what are we going to be saying about Ethan Holliday? Still a high school player.
Oh, man. Well, it's crazy. We had like a year and a half, 2 years off of a Holliday and a draft cycle, but here we are again with Ethan in there. I think, again, just like his brother Jackson, he's going to be talked about with that cluster of names at the top, not only in the high school ranks, but overall. I think that he'll be a candidate to go really, really high in the draft, whether that's top five, top 10. I'm sure some people even float him around at one. I know that's where Carlos Collazo at Baseball America currently has him mocked in his most recent and first, way too early, as he calls it, mock draft for 2025. But long-winded answer short, he'll be up there with the top tier names, I think.
All right, Peter, what's happening at Baseball America on this Monday?
Tons of stuff. The trade deadline's coming up, so there's going to be a ton of trade deadline content coming on baseballamerica.com. There's draft recaps. Transfer portal in college baseball is as hot as ever with guys committing, and there will be an update there. And then the big thing, as I mentioned, is the trade deadline. So there's going to be a ton of stuff this week, next, and the week after on potential trade targets, analyzing trades, and then the fallout from the trade deadline with winners and losers.
Peter Flaherty, Baseball America. Peter, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for the intel. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Peter Flaherty, everybody. We'll come back here from Rokon Smith. That means out the door, headed to one winning drive. But Jason Cole is going to join us for some NFL lunch. Then we have an American League East report for you as well. Orioles are off today, but the Yankees and Rays wrap up their four-game set. 105 first pitch. Let's see if Tampa can do the Birds a solid this afternoon. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL lunch coming up, matter of minutes. Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer, is going to be joining us. Vinny's heading out to one winning drive, day two of Ravens training camp, 2024 preseason opener coming up on the 9th of August. It's flying around since training camp has started. It means we have our hold-ins. And right now, Jordan Love not practicing with the Packers as he is at training camp, but holding in nonetheless. Brian Gutekunst, the GM, thinks that there's optimism they'll get a deal done, though. But Jordan Love finally got an opportunity to start and help lead the Pack to the playoffs and actually won a game, blowing out Dallas in the wild card.
Yeah, the last eight games he played pretty damn good. So they feel pretty good and pretty confident in him, and that's why a deal's going to get done. I mean, doing quarterback deals is not difficult. You basically take Trevor Lawrence's deal and probably do something extremely similar to that and call it a day. I imagine he's not going to miss very much at all.
Yeah, because the market, like you just said, Vinny, kind of sets it. Unless you're Patrick Mahomes,
right,
or Lamar, somebody like that, you got a big price tag. But Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, I think that's a fair comparable there.
No doubt about it. And everybody wants to be the highest paid. And the guy smiling the most probably is Patrick Mahomes' agent. You know, I mean, whenever all this gets done, then it's Patrick's turn.
Now, Rokon Smith met with the media yesterday, as he's looking forward to, which he thinks is going to be an exciting Ravens season. But are some changes there defensively, not just personnel-wise, but with the coaching staff, in particular the coordinators. And here's Rokon talking about the impact of changing coordinators. One, Mike McDonald moving on to become a head coach.
I think the pieces are very similar that's here, and I have a great deal of respect for Zach, his mindset. He's been out there on the field, and believe it or not, like, obviously him and Mike are two totally different people, and they're unique in their own way, but through the headset, they actually sound the same. It's like all my every voice I've heard through a headset all sound the same, and I'm like, is that Mike or something? Like, then I told Zio one day during OTA, so it's pretty funny. But I'm excited for Zio, for him to showcase what he's able to do with the pieces that we have here and showcase it to the world. And, you know, we've all been doubted before, things, oh, may not be as good as this or that or the third. But, hey, that's what the game gives us, the opportunity to prove that. And I have a great deal of respect for Zio and that he'll prove it week in and week out. And it's going to start here in training camp, preparing for the year.
Bob, I could see, you know, I mean, I just thought of this, that if he does well, and I expect Zach Ord to do well, if he does well, two or three, you know, he's 30 years old, 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road. I mean, if things are going good, is he the replacement for Harbs?
Possibly. I mean, how much longer is John Harbaugh's, what, 60?
61, something
so,
like that?
I mean, we talk about that elusive second Super Bowl ring for him, but say he cashes in this year or next, when's Harbs going to just say, hey, I've done it all, time to walk out here, mic drop style?
I don't see it. You know, I don't. Harbs loves the coach. I mean, he's happy as hell at being out there and everything, and he looks good. I don't see Harbs leaving for a while.
Now, as we talk more about the defense, Trenton Simpson, he's going to elevate to a very important part of this Ravens D, as Patrick Queen is now in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Roquan was asked about what he has seen from the second-year Clemson product so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Trent, man, the guy works his tail off like no other, always trying to find ways to get better, and you can see it day in and day out, his approach to the game, his extra meeting time, and the guy is probably one of the most athletic people on the team, if not, you know, jumps out the gym, 4.3 speed, can do everything, and I think, you know, with more reps and him putting it all together, I think the guy really has a chance to be special.
I, you know, the things that Roquan say there, the most important thing he said is his work ethic is off the charts. I mean, because that gives him the opportunity. He's got all those God-given abilities that he's got, the athleticism, speed, all those things. But the work ethic and passion and love for the game, then you got a really good chance to improve, get better. And I know the Ravens coaches and stuff, they feel really good about the kid. And I don't think they're going to feel like there'll be a drop-off. The only thing that'll be a little bit different is he won't be on the field 100% of the time like Patrick was. I think, you know, we're going to see Eddie Jackson. We're going to see some, you know, DB-type guys out there on the field at times.
And this is with all due respect to Patrick Queen, but I'm starting this is just Bob Haney fan basically saying, Trenton Simpson, I'm comfortable with him stepping in here. He's not going to have 120 tackles or something crazy like that, but I think he's going to come in here and be an asset to the defense this season.
I feel that way too, Bob, and I'm really and we're not going to know until, you know, when we're going to really know, Kansas City game. That's when we're going to know, because that's probably I would think, don't you think he gets some preseason games, Bob? He got to, right?
His snap counts have been pretty limited during his one NFL season, so perhaps.
Yeah, but if he gets hurt, there's a big drop-off. So, I don't know. Kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I would give him some reps just so going into the Kansas City. You know, he did play against Pittsburgh, but, I mean, this is that game meant nothing, whereas this game means a lot more, the Kansas City game I'm talking about. So, hopefully he gets some reps at that time.
Now, as you're getting ready to head out to one winning drive, day two of training camp, and hopefully Lamar will be out there as he missed day one with an illness, what are you going to watch? Because you watched offensive line yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you'll make sure that the five will be the same as yesterday was.
Check that out.
What else is going to be on Vinny's agenda this afternoon?
Eddie Jackson, Bob. See what he looks like athletically and stuff. But yesterday it was all team. It was an hour or whatever of team. And today it will probably be more normal where we'll have pass scale 7-on-7 and, you know, and maybe we'll get a chance to see some deep balls and see the receivers do more stuff. That's well, and I want to see, you know, the defensive back. I'm really bummed that Tampa's going to be out a couple weeks because he's a player. He's a player, and that's going to set him back. So I'm probably hurt him for the first few games of the regular season. And then Wiggins. And then, Bob, your boy was out there, too, with him and Wiggins are the twos. I mean, your twos are Armour Davis and Wiggins.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, he's out there, and if he can stay healthy through OTAs, mini camp, training camp, that's a good sign.
And real quick, you talk about injuries and setbacks. I mean, Adeez Isaac, you haven't seen him. I mean, Tampa got to flash at OTAs at mini camp. Adeez Isaac, you know, because of the hamstring, haven't seen much at all.
And Bob, the thing that's going to hurt him, I mean, he got hurt the first day of rookie camp. So, I mean, he hadn't even worked on, he can't work on his drills. He can't work on fundamentals. He can't do any of that stuff. So he hadn't been able to progress like the other kids have. So he's going to be way, way behind. And if he's going to be out a while, they'll probably put him on PUP. and then see if he comes back in a month or so.
I don't know if you guys got into it last week as Nolan and I were off, but ESPN's been doing the top 10 this, that.
The quarterbacks.
Know, quarterback Lamar, 4.
Yeah.
Any issues here?
Well, last year he was 7th, so he moved up 3. Because if I'm not mistaken, it's Mahomes, then it's Josh Allen,
Burrow,
then Josh Allen, and then Lamar. I mean, you know, the only thing I would say is with Burrow is he didn't play last year, so does he deserve to be that high right now?
Zach Taylor, by the way, full clearance for Burrow health-wise with the wrist, but Stafford at 5?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
that I mean, was... I get it, but really?
Yeah. Well, the thing with Burrow, Bob, going back to Burrow for a second, he has not made it through training camp ever healthy yet. So, I mean, that's got to be their goal is that he gets to the first game healthy because he's always got a calf or he's always got something.
Yep. So Joe Burrow, he's healthy, ready to rock and roll, named number 2 quarterback by executives, coaches, and scouts throughout the National Football League. We'll come back, talk some NFL with Jason Cole. Could have some NFL lunch with us. American League East report at 1:15. Orioles are off today. Have to take a 2 out of 3 from the Texas Rangers in Miami, taking on the Marlins. 3-game set starting tomorrow. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. What are you sacrificing if you're Mike Elias to upgrade your team? Could another bat be part of the equation in addition to a starter and a bullpen piece? And we could talk about John Harbaugh's strong comments about Lamar going to be the greatest quarterback. And that's what the plan is in the history of the National Football League.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.